I'll be for this.
If we could do attendance, please.
Thank you, Ellen. Hello, everyone. This is Brenda speaking for the record. Welcome to the RDS Who Is Two plenary call number 25 on the 6th of April, 2018 at 12:30 UTC. In attendance today is Ellen, Catherine, Chris, Carlton, Erica, Lily. We do have an observer who has joined us. However, it's a phone number and I do not recognize the phone number. So I will try to get that information. From ICANN.org, we have Jean-Baptiste, Lisa, and myself, Brenda. We do have apologies from Volker, Dimitri, Alice, and Trang. And today's call is being recorded. May I please remind you to state your name before speaking for the transcript. And I'll turn the meeting over to you, Ellen. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Your voice was breaking up a little bit. Is mine okay?
Yes.
Okay. Then we have an agenda, which will be basically the review of subgroups in the face-to-face. And if there are any questions on the agenda or an AOB, please let me know now. And if there are any substantive changes in the statements of interest that need to inform the meeting about. And I see no hands here, no voices. Does everyone know how to raise their hands today?
No. It's Erica, no.
If you're showing the participants, just below participants, the list is a little pink hand. Mine should be flashing at you if you're looking at participants. If you don't have the participant showing, I don't have a clue how to raise your hand. Oh, there's a raise hand.
Yep, I found it.
Icon right in the middle, which doesn't work.
It doesn't work, yeah.
Well,
the top doesn't work, but on participants, yes.
All right. And Chris has his hand up and he has his hand down. All right, then I assume the agenda is accepted. We have no statement of interests, updates, and we will hope that we know how to raise our hands or at least call out if you have that level of frustration. The first item on the agenda is review of subgroup status, which I assume will take a significant part of this meeting. And I turn it over to Jean-Baptiste. I'm guessing, but I think that's who's going to take this. Maybe Lisa.
Thank you, Ellen. So we have summarized on the slide that you currently see on screen. So the subgroup progress, as you know, yesterday was the deadline to share your subgroup draft report with the review team. So we have reported in this on this slide with a color code whether it was done already or not. So in green, you can see the subgroups who have shared a draft report already with the review team, and that is the outreach, compliance, data accuracy, internationalized domain names, plan and annual reports. And you can see in the last column when those were shared. And then, so some subgroups were provided with a draft report from their rapporteur, and that is for a single who is policy and for consumer trust. And there are still a few subgroups where a draft was provided to a subgroup reporter, but those were not shared yet with the subgroup at this stage. And if you look at law enforcement needs, so there we had offered to provide a draft to the subgroup reporter, but there was no answer at this stage.
All right. Would we're going to be going through them one by one, so there's no point in asking for status updates at this point on this chart. So maybe we should just proceed to the next chart, unless I missed something that we want to cover at this point.
Okay, so on the first one, on strategic priority, and Catherine, please feel free to correct if there is any other thing we'd like to mention. So there are written materials and answers to the set of questions that need to be incorporated into the written implementation briefing. You are currently awaiting SME answers. And there is a follow-up call to be scheduled for any clarifying questions, and a draft FedRAMP report was provided to Catherine. Would you like to add anything at this stage, Catherine?
Thank you, Jean-Baptiste. That was pretty comprehensive. Just to say that we're awaiting SME's answers because we ourselves were late in submitting the questions, so it's not a question of their turnaround time. But those should come in soon, hopefully, and we already received the written materials which need to be incorporated. So I hope to get a draft out to the subgroup by the end of the weekend.
Thank you, Catherine. And so moving on with recommendation two, single host policy. So there was an action from the last call on 6th of March for Carlton to write a findings for subgroup review, and then planning to interview Revit Team 1 members to understand the benefits of recommendation two and consider providing those as inputs to the RDS PDP. And Carlton has circulated a draft to the subgroup. Anything you'd like to add, Carlton?
Hi, Jean-Baptiste. I'm just in. I don't know if you can hear me.
We can hear you.
Okay, great. I just got in. I didn't hear the question. I just heard anything you want to add.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you would like to raise regarding the single host policy?
Oh, no. I circulated the draft, and you have it on the screen. That's what happened. I haven't heard from any of the team members yet.
On recommendation three, outreach. So there was a subgroup call on the 3rd of April, and the subgroup members were reviewing the materials, and Alan has circulated a draft to the review team. Alan, do you want to add anything?
I'm not sure I want to add anything. This is the first time I've tried to fill out this draft report, and I do have a number of questions because of it. I found, as I was going through it, there was a fair amount of repetition. Now, part of it was caught in at least my draft version, where it listed the topic. There were a whole bunch of references, and then we had the references, and Lisa had suggested that I omit the references that had been in the outline, in the original document outline, and just have them in the relevant research, and that I did. But when I went down to look at the problem issue, there's a fair amount of overlap with that and the analysis. And then again, when under the various subtitles of recommendations, you know, there's a title, for instance, of findings. And I'm not quite sure how that differs from the findings above. Is that is expected to be a summary of what was written a few lines above? And you know, so I was a little bit confused as to the exactly what is supposed to be in each of these sections, and maybe Lisa can help us there.
Yes, thanks, Alan. This is Lisa for the record. So, Alan, in your case, the way that your subgroup had framed the questions you wanted to answer actually referenced documents that you wanted to review, and that is why that duplication occurred for you. It didn't actually occur.
Yeah, no, that part I understood.
General. Your question about the findings in the template, as this moves forward, the recommendations will stay intact and the verbiage on findings will become more and more summarized. So the idea was simply to provide sort of a backward reference to where one could find the materials that in the document that were the findings that led you to that recommendation. So it's not to repeat the whole statement of findings, but rather to refer back to the finding that led to that recommendation.
Okay.
I hope that helps.
Yeah, and in the case of this one, sort of the findings all together add up to the requirement for the other recommendation. So it's not really a subset of it. Well, we may end up having a second part of it too when we find out what happened with the outreach to other groups, but still it's going to be the majority thing. So the answer is yes, it is essentially duplicated, and we'll put a very brief summary there and refer back to the detailed findings.
Correct. And in the case that you just mentioned, it's actually useful to know that it's a recommendation based on the totality of the findings.
Yeah. Other than that, it was an interesting experience trying to write it up. As I was doing the writing, I realized that we had glanced over a few things that we hadn't discussed that became obvious as I was trying to phrase the findings. And so I found it a very useful exercise just in that it forced a certain amount of organization which hadn't been there originally. So I thought it was a useful exercise, and I commend everyone to try it once. And that's all I have to do. The document, because I sort of got caught up on the findings, I didn't finish the section on recommendations. I will I'll flesh it out a little bit more. Clearly, it won't be finished until we have a substantive discussion with the whole review team. But I think it's not in bad shape. There still needs a fair amount of work. But it's always easier to correct and adjust the document than to start from scratch. And with that, I'm done.
Thank you, Alan. Moving on to recommendation for compliance. So there was some input received from IKICA and compliance team on the 28th of March, and Susanna just shared before the call the subgroup draft report to the review team. Anything else you'd like to add, Susan?
Sure, John Baptiste. I found the drafting the report really helpful too in sort of thinking through things again. And so added some of the information we received from the compliance team on the 28th that will be interesting to discuss with the subgroup and the full review team in Brussels. So it was beyond it, you know, providing a report to the full review team, it was a helpful exercise in just thinking through things also.
Perfect. Thank you, Susan. Moving on to the next subgroup, which is data accuracy. So 10 questions were forwarded to ICANN or to address in writing, and Lily has circulated the draft to the review team. Lily, would you like to add anything on data accuracy?
Yes, sure. Lily, for the record, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. You sound a little bit low.
Okay. So I just went through Alan's report on the outreach. Actually, I found there was an overlap, at least for the outreach and the data accuracy recommendation 5. So we were both assessed about the who is informative website. So for Alan's outreach recommendation, it is the main means for outreach. And for the data accuracy, for the community education, I can also take the WHO's informative website as education means. So we may approach to the same like implementation from different perspectives. So we may can discuss further during the face-to-face meeting. That's it.
Jean-Baptiste.
Thank you, Lily.
Yeah.
On recommendation 10, privacy proxy services. So there was a briefing with the IRT staff support held on the 20th of March. Written input was also received. The metrics for privacy and proxy specifics in the 2013 RAA were received. And a draft subgroup report was provided to Volker. Volker is not on the plenary call today. Susan, do you want to add something to that?
Sorry, it took me a bit to get off mute. I'll take a look at, Volker did, you know, provide some comments and for the report. So I'll take a look at it tonight and see if I can't flesh things out too and urge Volker to get it in by Monday.
Yeah, it's Alan. I think we since he won't be at the meeting, I think we need something that's pretty complete so that the rest of us can at least discuss it.
This is Carlton. The IRT reports are quite detailed, and they sent out, we get them every week. I'm on the IRT. So if there's any gaps, we can always go back to the IRT because it has a comprehensive list of issues that they have with the outcomes, and that might be a good place to find information.
Thank you, Carlton.
Lisa, you have your hand raised.
Yes, and I've just noted in chat that on recommendation 10, an initial draft was provided directly to Volker, and Volker provided direct edits for his findings, which I incorporated and sent back to the subgroup yesterday. So the subgroup does have that draft. It just has not gone to the full review team.
Okay.
Thank you, Lisa. Moving on to the recommendation 11, common interface. Written briefing was received from ICANN.org regarding query failures on who is microsite, how frequent the cause, and any efforts to alleviate. And an action from the last call on 26th of February was for Volker to write up findings for the group review. And a draft was provided to Volker. Susan, would that be you as well to provide an update on that?
Sorry, not on this one.
Not on this
one. But I'll just look at it.
Okay. This one is, although it's called the common interface, it is really just the subset of that which relates to the Whois function itself. The most of the microsite is falling under outreach, and as Lily pointed out, there's some overlap in other directions as well. But I believe the intent is that this analysis is looking just at the Whois function within the microsite.
Thank you, Alan. Moving on to recommendation 12 and 14, internationalized domain names. So there was no subgroup schedule, but a draft was circulated to the review team. And Dimitri is not on the call. on recommendation 15-16 plan and annual reports. No subgroup call was scheduled and a draft has been circulated to the review team. Lily, is there anything you'd like to add?
Yes, Lily, for the record, yeah. Currently, I just put some findings on this subgroup. I may wait for other subgroups' draft report to go through and maybe put some like problems or issues part. That's it.
Thank you, Lily. Moving on to the new assessment subgroups, so with anything new, so there were no answers to telling questions, the review policies, so the subgroup was reviewing policies and putting together findings. The subgroup was planning to make observations about dissatisfaction with procedure and likely GDPR impact, but will not make recommendation at this time, and the draft was provided to Stephanie. Stephanie, is there anything you'd like to add on anything new?
Yes, Perrin, can you hear me?
We can.
Yes.
Jolly good. Yes, I apologize. I intended to have this out to you over the weekend and Easter got in the way. Plus, Lisa sent me an excellent filled format, and of course I had trouble with it. I couldn't quite get it to behave as I put all the different subsections in, so I came up with a rich text version following the same basic headings. And as I did it, my experiences were somewhat similar to what Alan noted in his earlier remarks. I found I was prompted to go back to the original documents and fill out some of our comments a bit more. We were, of course, racing through a rather lengthy list of documents. I added a couple, and I hope to have the draft out to you this afternoon. It's nearly done. In terms of, there are quite a few where we make the remark that this will be influenced by the GDPR. That seems a bit lame, so I thought we had to go back in and explain why or where, or just add a little bit more color to it in the comments. Otherwise, quite frankly, it looks like there was more work in the framing document than there was in the input to it, if you know what I mean. Thanks.
Thank you, Stephanie. That's not a bad outcome. We have our plates full at this point. I have a question on your problem with the document. The document that was sent out is a Word document that is essentially password protected and locked, so you can't change formatting. Are you trying to use it with Word, or are you using it with a plug compatible program?
I'm using it actually with Word, and I was just trying to get the bullets to line up and a few little mundane things like that. I also felt it would be more useful to change the bullets in our rather lengthy list of documents to numbers, because it was kind of staggering all over the page. But that was the problem. It's locked for a whole lot of things. So,
you can select numbers, though.
Yes, but they were not behaving properly, so that's why I gave them.
Okay. You can't select numbers in a straight row. You can select numbers indented.
Right. Well, I was working at it and got frustrated, as I am wont to do with these things. So doubtless someone who is a wizard like Lisa, thank you very much, Lisa, for the format, will be able to just go plunk and solve all the problems I had, but it will look similar. How's that?
We won't ask you to defend the format right now. If we can go on to the next item.
Thank you. Yes, Lisa,
I have my hand up if you don't mind. Yes,
Lisa wants to defend the formatting. Go ahead.
I didn't choose the formatting, but just a tip on how to use it. Which is, if you're used to choosing from the format bar things like bolding and italics, you can still do that. You just need to highlight the text that you want to bold or italicize, and then choose the style for those. So that's how it's done within the context of that template. The other question I actually wanted to ask Stephanie is if you have a target for getting your draft then out to the subgroup and the full review team.
I think she said by the end of today.
Yes, I was hoping the subgroup would not mind if I sent it out to everybody at the same time. Then I can get it out to everybody this afternoon.
That's what I did.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we're at an early stage, so, you know, the more the merrier that happens on it. Carlton, if you can tell me how to unlock it, that would be great. That's what I was struggling with. But I'll try that style tip, Lisa, and see if I can get it to go back into the form. But I think it's more important at this point to get it out to everybody than to have it on the correct form. So that's
agreed, Stephanie. And just to the extent that you can use the styles, it will help when we pull it together in a full review team report. I'm not personally a fan of the approach of the template, but it does. It will help us. It will pay dividends later.
Right.
If they had picked less ugly bullets, I would tend to support it.
Well, I found that the headings and the questions and everything were very useful, but the formatting was kind of...
All right, let's not dwell on that right now.
Okay, moving on to law enforcement needs. So the subgroup plan was to discuss the approach and timing for informal outreach to law enforcement. We are waiting requests for subgroup call to be scheduled. And Thomas has received an offer from support team to help on drafting a group report, but we have not heard any requests until now. And I believe Thomas is not on the call today.
No, and Thomas also will not be in Brussels, apparently. So it's another of these areas that we're going to have to look at and figure out how do we make sure that we're covering them properly. I don't quite know what the answer to that is.
Lisa, you have your hand raised.
Yes, thank you. Alan, and I guess this is a question for the leadership team, but also for everyone. As we're now entering the final week of slide prep and everything for our face-to-face, if Thomas is not going to be with us at the face-to-face, we do need to identify someone to at least speak on behalf of the subgroup for the face-to-face meeting. Is there anyone else from that subgroup that would be willing to do that?
It's Alan. Did we actually get a message from him saying he would not be at the meeting? The only message I saw was saying he didn't have to select food for the dinner because he wouldn't be there. But I didn't actually see it defining the meeting himself.
No, this is Catherine. I think he was referring to the whole meeting.
Well,
and I can try and do the law enforcement subgroup one.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, no, I know he was referring to it, but I was just wondering, was there actually a formal message saying he wouldn't attend other than the declining the dinner?
And I didn't see one. I'm not sure if anyone else did.
I guess it's fortunate we asked about the dinner then. All right, so Catherine, we'll mark you down for it. Is that volunteering to do the report also if it hasn't been done, or do we?
Yes,
need-
I guess so. I mean, there was a holdup on moving this forward in terms of what questions we wanted to ask of people, and I think we'll just have to see how we can move this along. Maybe I'll reach out to Thomas and see whether there's whether I can catch up with him before the meeting.
All right, let's go on to consumer trust then.
Thank you. So on consumer trust, Erica was working on briefing questions and providing reading lists to subgroup members. And the subgroup report was shared with subgroup members. Erika, is there anything you'd like to add?
Jean-Baptiste, this is Erika. Jean-Baptiste, thank you. I just sent it to all of you, so you should have it in your inbox by now. So the difficulty we have with this particular group is that consumer trust, and when you look back into the findings found in previous in the previous review and in different documents, is that consumer trust comes up frequently as a word and as something as a goal, but it's not really well defined. Neither is it related to particular to-dos or particular tasks inside of the organization. Insofar, I have done something when you will review analysis and findings. So point four, you will see all the topic which relate to work done in different subgroups. And I have identified each time the key finding from the 2012 review team, because that's the only key and relevant document. And so what I recommend to the subgroup, we haven't discussed it yet, but what I will recommend is that we will wait until we see your findings, and then based on your findings, we will make our recommendations. So you see, when you review point four, you will see all the various topics identified relate to the different topics debated in the different subgroups. And we will then fill in based on your recommendations. We will review it and will then make some recommendation. There's a general point to make, maybe, which goes beyond these concrete topics which we have identified. And this is that there is very little in identifying a general understanding or a general principles related to consumer trust. So we may want to do, make some general recommendations, maybe how to identify the topic in more clear terms in the future. But I don't think so we are there yet. But I recommend you read in particular point the chapter four, and I'm pretty sure you will understand where we are with this particular report. Back to you.
And Lisa had her hand up, and I put mine up. Lisa?
Actually, it has been resolved in chat. Oh. I just wanted to find out if Catherine would like a subgroup report drafted for law enforcement, and she said yes. So,
okay. Done. Thank you. I've got a general overreaching topic that I want to bring up when we finish the individual review, and that's what I'm calling scope creep. However, in consumer trust, it's as a slightly different version. The vast majority of occurrences of the use consumer trust in ICANN are not related to who is. The term obviously has been used heavily with related to the new GTLDs, but that is not really a who, that was not really from a who is perspective. The who is, in the despite the fact that it was included explicitly by the NTIA in the AOC and followed its way into our current bylaws, there's not an awful large overlap of consumer trust and who is. The largest single part is things like reputation services that use who is to generate information, which then gets fed into spam filters and web browser references to see whether sites are dangerous or not. And all of that, of course, is completely up in the air with GDPR, that to whatever extent it helps consumer trust right now, we don't have a clue where it's going to come out when we finish with GDPR. And so this is one that I suspect, and the face-to-face discussion in Brussels may take us in a different direction, but I suspect this is one where we're going to conclude that the most substantive part of the work in this particular section is really going to depend on whether, you know, which way GDPR goes and which way the implementation goes. And so I suspect this is one of those that's going to largely be put on hold until we can finish.
Well, and this is Erica. I totally agree with you. There's the same analysis, which actually the same conclusion and analysis I found. Now, we want to be a little bit careful. I agree with you. It's very difficult to determine consumer trust in relation to who is based on the information we have now and based on the reports and reviews which we currently have available. And you're right, the future outcome based on how GDPR will be, or the recommendation based on the UN GDPR for WHOIS will be implemented, will define to some degree consumer trust environment. But, and there's a bit but, I would say, because consumer trust is such a great term, and in our environment, maybe in particular, because it can relate to an individual user, but it can relate to professional users as well. And we might need, or what I think we need to do, we need to have a debate at the very end when we, or just before we will do the drafting of the final report, and hopefully we then have a clear understanding about the implementation of GDPR, and then we can make maybe, or hopefully, a better judgment. But I totally agree with you. There's not much we can do right now. That's why I put the reference topics in the findings, in the chapter about findings, but I didn't make any recommendation because it makes no real sense to do this right now.
Mm-hmm. Nor is it clear that our recommendations are, that we have the ability to, the only recommendations we should be making are ones that the board can act on. And it's not clear that whatever our final decision is of what we want to see happen is that it's something that in fact the board will be able to act on.
Now there's one, I agree, this is Erica again, if I could just can follow up. Now there's one which you will find in 4.C, which is related to the bylaws, because interestingly in the bylaws, there's not even a reference to consumer trust. There is of course reference to public interest, which to some degree indirectly captures the philosophy of consumer trust to some degree as well. So maybe we might want to make a recommendation at the end that consumer trust needs to be understood better and maybe even needs to be captured in the bylaws. But I believe that's a conclusion we have to draw at a much later point and not now.
Thank you, Erica. We have hands from Stephanie.
Thanks very much, Stephanie Perrin. I just wanted to note that I agree with everything that has been said so far on this topic. Those two words are my sort of favorite bugbears in the WHOIS privacy discussions, public interest and consumer trust, and they are being bandied about a great deal at the moment. And I think it does beg questions. Alan is going to say I'm enlarging the scope here, but I think we could usefully say, without reaching out and defining the terms, that nevertheless there is some quantitative and qualitative research measuring exactly the impacts of the current WHOIS system on consumer trust, both from a the reputation people's needs, the actual use by consumers, that would be very useful in the discussion, because I have noted that over the years we have been equally vague about what we mean, and it's not helping in the current RDS debate. So I've made this point a number of times in the RDS discussions. I really think we need to sketch out the parameters of what I can needs to study in order to provide some precision about consumer trust. Thanks.
Thank you, Stephanie. You made reference to there is existing research. Is this something we have access to?
Well, there is existing research on the accuracy studies that were done from WHOIS. There is a study on how many consumers actually look at WHOIS to determine whether in fact it claims that it is useful to the average consumer as opposed to the knowledgeable consumer, the knowledgeable person, you know, like a cybercrime researcher is not your average consumer. He knows what to get out of WHOIS. The rest of us find it a struggle and aren't even aware of it. And so that's the kind of research that I think is needed to be done. And in fact, I made that point at the GNSO meeting, and someone who has long worried about whether or not we should relying on the browser for consumer trust more than on WHOIS came up and proposed that we set up a subgroup to look at the browser and solving the problem of consumer trust. So that is exactly the kind of research that I'm talking about, you know, rather than bandy about vague terms to justify existing policy, could we please study what needs to be done? And in some respects, I just got approval of our research proposal for the work on standards that I've been talking about. And that's one of the things I want to do a literature review on and delve into a bit in that third-party access accreditation standards work.
Okay, thank you, Stephanie. To the extent that we may end up making a recommendation that there should be more studies, that's one thing, but if you believe there are existing studies which give information about how WHOIS is used by consumers or elite groups of consumers, then please make sure they're listed in the list of documents. And if you can get them to Lisa, she'll make sure they're incorporated properly. Erica.
There is not in relation, this is Erica, not in relation to WHOIS, but in relation to the new GTLDs. There is some connection and some information about what Stephanie was talking about in relation to consumer trust. So indirectly, one could draw a conclusion that this relates to some degree to the WHOIS environment, of course, as well. And I, so I have this, if we need this, I have this stored somewhere and we can look into it, but it's not an explicit connection to WHOIS. Nonetheless, it's an interesting information for consumer trust.
Thank you, Erica. Anything more on consumer trust right now?
Carlton, yes, Carlton has his hand up.
Oh,
in the chat though.
I don't see it
in the chat.
In the chat. Okay.
In the list of participants.
Go ahead, Carlton. We cannot hear you, Carlton. Carlton, I now see your hand up, but I still can't hear you. And he has put his hand down.
I don't see him anymore in the participants.
He's dropped off Zoom. All right, let us go on.
Shall I move on?
Yes, please.
Yes, and that is safeguard. Registrant data, and I can always provide links to materials, and Alan has formulated specific questions, and the draft was provided. And the draft was provided to you, Alan.
Yeah, and I have not had a chance to work on that one. I will try to get it out by the end of the weekend, though.
Okay. And I see that Carlton is back.
Carlton, do you wish to talk on the last item? We cannot hear you. Your microphone is not muted on Zoom. You may be muted locally. We'll come back to Carlton if necessary. I have two discussions. We've already touched into some of them. And the first is, as I mentioned, is scope creep. I think there's a danger, since who is very related to registrant things. And I think there's a real danger that as we start looking at some of these items that we may creep into the non-who is aspects of registrations and how they're managed and how compliance works and things like that. And I think we need to be a little bit careful, but there are places where I think we can't avoid it. And one of them became obvious as I was doing the outreach description, that the who is portal, for instance, talks about a lot of things other than who is. The other documents we looked at, registrant rights and benefits, the education videos, all of those, all involve who is, but since they're trying to provide an overall consistent picture to registrants or to users for that matter, it's not at all clear that we can separate out the non-who is aspects of it. You know, and as an example, the outreach recommendation, I'm pretty sure will end up saying we need a rewrite of some documentation, but that documentation is far wider than just who is, because you can't just rewrite the who is parts of it and have it make any sense. So I think as we move forward on all the recommendations, we're going to have to be careful about scope creep, but recognize that in some cases, who is so closely embedded with other things that we don't really have a choice but to wander into other areas. But I think we do have to be careful if we can segregate it, that we should. Stephanie, please go ahead.
Thanks, Alan. Stephanie Perrin. You're probably going to label me the queen of scope creep here, but that was one of the things that I added into our review of the anything new. I do think it's incumbent on us to have a look at that who is page and or repository and comment on whether it is complete and accurate, or at least discuss whether what kind of review needs to be done. Because I found in my studies that there was a lot of things, and I don't mean to be critiquing, I realize it's starting from kind of from scratch, and it's not easy to understand the deep, dark history of what's happened, but it ain't there yet. I'm constantly recommending that ICANN staff a librarian and an archivist, and I would just like to commend that to you as a recommendation for us, because we need more help with the documentation. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm not sure. How does that relate to anything new?
Well, it's on the list of documents, the who is page. It wasn't on Susan's summary, but you'll see in the list that that Lisa compiled that it's there. And of course, to the extent that it reflects anything new that's going on and does in fact what the GAC asked for many meetings ago, could somebody give us a complete roadmap to everything that's going on with who is? That is a required roadmap, you know? That relates to who is.
Stephanie, the reason it wasn't in our short list of anything new is because it exists purely as a result of one of the last recommendations. And therefore, it's been covered in the review of the last recommendations. That's why it didn't show up in the short list that we looked at.
Okay, well, you can thin it out. I still think it belongs.
Anything further?
This is Carlton. I'm back.
Yeah, go ahead, Carlton.
Yeah, I was telling you, this connection between who is and consumer trust. We spent a lot of time arguing the case as to whether or not it was consequential. And the reputation services people and the ICPT came back strongly and said, yes, it is. And here's what the argument is. They say reputation services use the information from WHIS to determine the safety of web domain domains, and using they publish it, and users, the ordinary user, is being asked to trust what the reputation services tell them about a website, its safety, and so on. And to the extent that the ordinary user is trusting what is said, and to the extent that reputation services make extensive use of WHIS information to determine safety, it is a stability issue and it is a trust issue, and therefore the WHIS is absolutely critical to consumer trust. That is the argument. They make those connections. And if you look at the Catherine referred to one of the reports that comes from the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, U.S. Federal Trade Commission, and there are several others in the reputation from the reputation services side that we can refer to in the CCT report. And if you look at the comments from the constituency, you will see where they make the strongest argument that reputation services and consumer trust are linked, and WHIS is the basis of that. So just to give you an update of what has happened in the CCT review work.
Thank you, Carlton. We did make reference to that already, but you may have been off at the time. But it's quite clear that the direct use of WHIS by consumers is, you know, on a relative scale, minimal, but the implied use through things like reputation services and spam filters is far from minimal.
That's right. That's a connection.
Yep. All right. The other item that I wanted to touch on is overlap. And I think that's one of the things hopefully will come out of the face-to-face meetings, that there are issues that cross these boundaries, because the implementation, for instance, of the WHIS portal was nominally in respect to one thing, but addressed a number of other issues going forward. And Lily mentioned accuracy, obviously, is one of those. So I think just going forward, we're going to have to make sure that we're subdividing the work so we're not repeating the same things in multiple places. But I think that will naturally fall out of our discussions. And with that, I think we have completed the review of subgroups, unless there's anything else anyone wants to raise. No hands. Then I'll turn it back over to Jean-Baptiste and go on to the item on the face-to-face meeting.
Thanks, Jalen. So moving on to the next item. So at the request of the leadership, we have reported on this slide based on the face-to-face meeting current agenda when each subgroup will be presenting its findings to the review team, and also how much time is allocated. So this is really for you to have a discussion on whether the time allocated is sufficient or too long, and whether things should be readjusted. So really quickly, you'll notice that currently the subgroups who have only 30 minutes of time allocated are strategic priority, single WHIS policy, common interface, internationalized domain names, and plan and annual reports. And all the other subgroups have 60 minutes of time allocated for presentation of findings. Alan, you want to?
Sure. Well, I'll open up the floor, but I'll make one or two comments first. I do not believe, since we still need some briefings and opportunity to talk to people, that safeguarding registrant data will be a 60-minute item. And I would tend to presume that compliance will be significantly more than 60 minutes. So as a first glance, I would offer those two comments, but I open the floor to anyone else. Anyone?
I want to say that, this is Carlton.
Please go ahead.
I tend to agree with you about compliance, Alan, but that is going to be a significant discussion. And I personally would think that if you look at the body of work that has already gone in and the questions that are asked, the assessment of just the answers alone is going to take 60 minutes. So the discussion, that's a two-hour discussion in my view. The privacy proxy services, that is also going to be another big one. The reason why I would say that is if you look at the IRT, what is coming out of the IRT, where the people who are au fait with those issues are in discussions now. And if you see how that is going on, around a couple of very key issues in disclosure and so on, that is going to take another a bit longer. So those two, I would safely say, is going to require more time.
Thank you, Carlton. Erica.
Erica, I have wanted to make similar comment as Carlton did. I have the same feeling. And I wonder, maybe we could just, if you would keep 1.5 hours maybe for these two discussion in, then maybe we can cut some of the other topics down to 45 minutes. Maybe this would be, would give us some space.
Thank you.
Alan, that's
thank you, Erica. Sorry, my voice disappeared for a moment. The real issue we have is, I'd like to say, well, this whole thing will float around and we will reallocate the time as necessary. We do have a situation, however, that we have to consider of remote participation, and we have to give some level of predictability. So, Erica, you suggested cutting some of the 60 minutes down to 45. I would offer outreach as one that should be possible for. Do you have any other suggestions on other ones? And if we want to keep them in the same day, then we're going to have to, if we're going to go up to an hour and a half or 2 hours on both outreach and privacy proxy, both of which are scheduled for the first day, I don't think that's going to be possible. We may have to move one into another day.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is Erica. Outreach, certainly. I can try to cut consumer trust, but following the discussion we just had, maybe it's not a good idea to cut it down to 45 minutes, but I can certainly try.
Yeah. Well, that's right now that's on a different day. Catherine, please go ahead.
That's true. It's a different day. Yeah.
I was just about to tell you that's a different day. So that's good. But I would recommend, Alan, that you think of moving, say, outreach to day two.
I would tend to keep outreach on day one to allow for overflow and continuing the discussion if we run out of time. Privacy proxy, I would say, is perhaps a better candidate.
For moving to day two? Okay.
Perhaps, yeah.
Maybe yes. Because Susan would be very busy with compliance. So maybe it's a good thing too.
Yeah, I mean, we're just looking at the first cut at each of these. There's also some other sessions scheduled to try to pull it all together and perhaps to revisit some of them. So this is the first cut and we're trying to do that pass. Catherine, you had your hand up.
Yes, thank you, Alan. This is Catherine. I mean, just to say, as Lisa has already noted in the chat now, there's a couple hours that are allocated for the overall discussion on implementation and on the new topics, and also on what else is happening in the community right now. So that gives us a little bit of a buffer in terms of time we could use if really we do not manage to finish in the time allocated. And then I was just wondering whether we're really going to be able to nail this down to 15-minute segments, or whether we should just not, sort of keep an open mind and view these times as targets and then not panic if we don't quite manage to stick to them in either direction.
Yeah, thank you.
The single WHO is policy or the annual reports, I mean, I doubt we'll discuss for even a half hour on those. But, you know, then if somebody picks up something interesting and then it just goes over time.
What I'm saying is
let's just be flexible.
Yeah, I agree. The only issue is, well, we know Volker will not be participating remotely. Thomas, we haven't heard from yet. And, of course, we have observers who may or may not be on the call on parts of these meetings. So to the extent that we can, we should certainly try to set reasonable times to start with. But I tend to agree we're going to have to be flexible as we go forward. And I think what we're going to have to do is for any observers or review team members who are working remotely, build some sort of way we can notify them when the schedule is changing or when they'll be on. Catherine, I assume that's an old hand. So we've had several comments that we'd like to increase compliance to 2 hours, privacy proxy to 2 hours. We have some volunteers for out to reduce time and outreach and strategic or safeguarding registered data, I believe, are those that we could reduce either because won't be significant topics to discuss or we will not have enough information at that point. Jean-Baptiste, Lisa, does that give you enough to work with in terms of the next revision of the schedule?
Yeah, thank you, Ellen, for summarizing.
Okay.
Lisa, you have any questions or comments?
Just to recap, you're suggesting extending compliance and privacy proxy to 2 hours, and
yeah.
To do that to shorten which subgroups?
Well, we're adding 2 hours and not taking off 2 hours, so.
Okay.
That's why there's juggling involved.
Agreed. Okay. We do actually have some time in the latest agenda to allocate from day two. And we can steal some from day three if we need to, where we have a big roll-up session on topics 2 through 5 that may not be need to be quite as big. So yes, I think we have some things to work with.
And I've suggested strategic or safeguarding registered data and outreach could be reduced on a first cut to 30 minutes.
This is Carlton. For personal reasons, as much as you can see from day three, I've been most appreciative.
Sorry, I didn't catch that, Carlton.
I'm saying I have a personal request. For as much as Lisa can steal from day three, I'll be very happy with that.
Okay, you will not be there day three, is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
So we should certainly make sure that day three is going to be summarizing in many cases, not doing the initial cut. So we're going to have to figure out on the fly how we compensate for you not being there. Any further comments on this part of the agenda? Then Jean-Baptiste, if we can go to the next slide, please.
Yes, so this is regarding presenting your subgroup findings during the face-to-face meeting. And to do that, so there are some finding slides that have been prepared by staff, which will be sent to reporters by the 9th of April because of business. And then reporters are invited to send the final updates to the slides by the 12th of April because of business. And we support team will circulate the final slide deck for the Brussels face-to-face meeting on the 13th of April.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll note the days that go along with those dates. The 9th of April is next Monday. The 12th is Thursday and the 13th is Friday. Now, I'm I get on a plane on Saturday, and I presume many, many other people are as well. So we really do not have any wiggle room there. The 12th is about as late as we can afford to give staff at least a few hours to update the documents so we can download them before we get on planes. So I'll point out these are moderately tight timelines for the ones compared to ones we normally have for this group, but we really don't have any flexibility. So I think certainly for the people on this call, I'll make it clear that I think we have to adhere to these timelines. And I guess we need to get that message out to the people who aren't on this call as well. And I see Erica has her hand up.
Alan, how many slides do we want to use for each presentation? Or do we just want to align it with the time we have available? I'm just to tell you why. I always rather prefer to have few slides which are more comprehensive in nature and then to allow more debate instead of spending all the time just reviewing slides.
As long as we can, there's not so much data on the slide that we can't read it. Staff will be sending out their first cut on slides. So I'm willing to let them take the decision on how many make sense based on the complexity of the issue.
For some of them,
it's going to be really simple, and some there's going to be a pile of slides, I think.
Okay, that's fine with me.
Lisa, please go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, this is Lisa for the record. As Alan noted, we've been working on a slide deck, which quite honestly is rather large, even when without content. But you'll see that each of you as rapporteurs, you'll see that there's a couple of slides for your topic with the points to be covered. And we'll populate those slides with the basics, just as we did with your draft subreports for those of you who chose to receive one. We'll do some of the basic background pulling from your subgroup report so that you don't have to do that. And you can focus on the findings and what messages or questions you want to really discuss with the review team as you flesh out your slides. So that would be what you receive on 9 April, that then you have until the end of your business day on the 12th of April to complete.
Thank you, Lisa. Carlton, were you trying to say something?
I was trying to say exactly what Lisa said, that what the staff does is that they send a slide. It works very well in the times they've done it, in my experience. They send out the slides and they kind of help you to find your own voice on the findings, which is where it goes. But I was about to tell you that it works even if Lisa puts her own voice on the slide. It really does work.
Thank you. I can't help but make a comment at this point. Lisa described the slide deck as rather large and not having any content in it yet. That could well be an exemplar for ICANN in general sometimes. So thank you for sharing that with us, Lisa. It's made this day more bearable for me. Anything else we have on this slide? Or do we go on to the next slide?
I had assumed that Lisa was referring to the board when she said it was large but empty.
As I said, exemplar for ICANN. You can look at it as many different parts.
Oh, that's sly, Chris. That's sly.
but thank you for contributing that, Chris.
Well, I felt I had to say something on the call, Alan. Otherwise, you might have forgotten that. And it does prove that I was listening also, which I think is
that, we appreciate that. Back to you, Jean-Baptiste.
Thank you, Alan. Shall we move on to the next slide, which is AOB, I believe?
And for AOB, we have a request to do a survey. Do we have to do a survey on this Zoom if we've already done a survey on the last Zoom? If our opinions have not changed.
If your opinions have not changed, I'm not sure, but I've seen a lot of comments and sometimes complaints in the chat. So We invite you to fill in this survey that will help us improve our upcoming calls. Thank you.
No, I don't think it's Zoom that is. I think it's my silly machine here that's causing the problems.
Well, based on my experiences with ICANN's use of Zoom and ICANN's use of WebEx, at this point, I will take Zoom any day.
I will take Zoom too. And it works for me for other calls, so you know.
All right. Do we have anything else on any other business before we go to a recap? We are again doing these meetings in well under the hour and a half allocated, something that I must admit I support.
No pain, no gain.
No input on anything else. Then I'll turn it back over to Jean-Baptiste for a review of decisions reached and action items.
Thank you very much, Alan. So on action items, so first of all, with the subgroup draft report on recommendation 2, if no updates are received from recommendation 2, Carlton will share at the end of today the subgroup draft report with the review team. On anything new, the subgroup draft report will be sent by the end of today. On law enforcement, Catherine has offered to provide assistance on the subgroup draft report, and Lisa will provide a draft to Catherine. And also, Catherine will provide a link to the US FTC feedback on the relevance of WHOIS to the topic for subgroup. On safeguard registrant data, Alan will share the draft report with the review team and the subgroup in parallel by the end of this week. On the agenda for the face-to-face meeting, so the time for compliance and privacy proxy services will be updated to 120 minutes, 2 hours. And outreach and safeguard registrant data will be, the time for these two items will be decreased to 30 minutes each. And ICANN will send a reminder about the slide deadline to all, and all the rapporteurs will submit the final slides no later than the 12th of April to enable final deck to be distributed on Friday to the review team.
Thank you very much. To be clear, the safeguarding registered data, I said I'll try to have it out by the end of the weekend, not the week.
I will correct that.
Any further comments? Then I will call this meeting to an end. Thank you all for attending.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye, all.